why time is there. Time for the weekly dish. I want fries on my pizza, the rabbit in a tortilla, barbecue from Korea. Damn, that's a good idea.
Welcome back to the Weekly Dish on My Talk 107.1. I'm Steph March.
I'm Stephanie Hansen.
And we are here joining you this Saturday with all the fun food things. We are going to continue with a caller from the Ask Stephanie portion of the dough. I think we have Marsha on the line.
Hi, Marsha.
You want to talk about patio recommendations?
Yes, I do. So what we found last week was one in Hopkins called the Bear Cave. I don't know if you guys
Bear Cave.
I've never even heard of it.
It's a brewery.
Oh, my gosh. It's a brewery, but it has an outdoor patio, rooftop patio, super kid-friendly. They have pour your own beer, pour your own cocktails like margarita and old-fashioned. Then they have a mid-level patio that's got heaters and like fireplaces for everybody,
gosh,
and then there's a lower level too. Really fun, good food. We had pizza and salad, great service. Couldn't have been happier.
Nice, very
then
good recommendation.
The other one up in Mille Lacs area that we found is Mugs in Waukon, Minnesota, and I don't know if you're featuring up north or not, but that was a great patio too.
Okay, nice. Mugs, I love it.
Marsha, great recommendations. Thank you so much.
Sure, you're welcome. Have a great day.
All right. I love it. Okay. There's a lot of good patio things that obviously you're going to get on your wish list for next week.
Yes.
Because this weekend, you're just going to hunker down. Next week, I feel like you've got good stuff.
Yeah. It's time to finish your books that you're reading and just enjoy.
Bake some cookies. All right. It's time for top two in hour two.
Giving the 0-1 top. 1-2, 1-2. And now the Weekly Dish presents
top two, top two.
The top two.
Pick your best two.
In hour two.
All right, give me two. Winning.
All right, it's the time to show you guys where we talk about a couple things that we are in love with that we can't stop thinking about. We want to share with you. Do you want to go first?
Yeah, sure. I did a book signing this week at a very cute little gift store that I'd never been to before called Lotus Lakes and Gifts in Chanhassen. It's run by a woman named Katie and her mom, and they have tons of gift items in there. I might have bought a Wordle game for someone for Mother's Day. But they just had tons of, they have like over 28 makers of Minnesota people in there. Lots of cute gift ideas. She's a teacher. And one of the things that I loved about the store is they're a training ground for kids that have accessibility issues and learning disabilities. So one of the gals that was working at the store, her name's Lily, she was just super cute, super interested in food, wanted to talk to me about the radio show. And I just thought that was a great addition to her business. And she was a former teacher, and I just love the gift shop. They have a lot of cool, unique stuff.
Very cool.
Okay, and I want to tell you one thing it's this thing. Now, you know how I write thank you notes all the time.
Yeah.
And you know how sometimes you don't want to have a lot to say, but you just want to say thank you?
Yeah.
They have this product, and I'll put a link up. Think of it as the size of a business card, but it's a thank you note.
Oh.
So it's just little.
Yeah.
And it has a little envelope, and it's just a little like, hey, thanks.
But
like,
you can't send it in the mail. You have to give it to someone.
You could send it in the mail, but it requires extra postage because obviously.
Yeah.
But it's like just that you could put on a gift package
like
or put on someone's
card.
Desk.
It looks like what you would get on
a flower card would be a good example. Like just this teeny tiny way to express thanks. And they're really just cute and little. And I'll put a picture on the Facebook page because I just fell in love with them. I was like, how cute.
I found a bunch of those in Japan. Like that was like a big thing that they would always like. That was your like you hand someone a little like card.
Just
like
a little personalized note.
Like a handed
Yeah.
Thing. That's love it. Lovely. Love it. Okay. So my first one, you guys, is going to be something that if you want to go today, you should. If you want to come join me for lunch, we're going to be at the Seeds of Growth Good Acres fundraiser. So up on Larpinder, Good Acre, which is a great local hub for local foods. They're doing a Seeds of Growth fundraiser today. And then Chow Girls is doing a tasting menu. And so there's all sorts of yummy things like you know, hibiscus ginger sparklers. Yum. We've got, there's some dry wit, you know, NA wine with seasonal Christini. We've got wild kombucha with pigs in a parka featuring Thousand Hill hot dogs. So all sorts of really fun little pairings, like well-rooted teas paired up with fancy deviled eggs and all this kind of stuff. And then, so it's a lunch, and then there's going to be a chat. And I'm going to be chatting up Rachel Bankin of Well-Rooted Teas. And we're going to talk a little bit about, like, what's it like to be, you know, a sustainable and local farmer? How does it work in the system as it is right now? And so it's just going to be a really fun kind of thing. It starts at 11. There's walk-ins available. I just texted them and they said that you guys, if anybody wants to show up for lunch and a little chat from 11 to, I think it's from 11 till about 1. And it's just, I'm going to scoot right from here and get over there. And then we're just going to have a chat and have some lunch. So
she was a top two in hour two for me sometime back.
Well-Rooted Teas.
She grows all of her own flowers and things that she uses in these teas.
Yeah.
They're just super delicious. You can buy them at the co-ops.
Yeah. And I love the fact that it's like, she crafts them with plants, you know, that are, it's like blended with local foraged things, and it's like botanicals native to the region. She's really intentional about it, not just like, hey, we're just going to throw this stuff together and call it a tea. And she's really thinking about things that are really kind of cool. So I love that. And it's $25. You guys come for $25. It supports a good cause. You're going to get some lunch. We're going to have a chat, and it's up at the Good Acre, and it's just quick from 11 to 1.
Okay.
So it's pretty great.
I'm going to recommend a wine, Stephanie.
Oh, let's have it.
And this is, I think, perfect for you.
Okay.
I had it at Serdix. I sipped it. I have to like say it because it's going to be hard for me to pronounce. Avinio, Avinyo, Petillant.
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 It's like a pet gnat.
Okay. Thank you. From Catalan, Spain.
Okay.
So Spanish wine, because you know I'm going to Spain, so I'm getting all excited.
Yeah.
It is a spritzy white. And the spritz level, like cava and champagne, are apparently a 5 to 6 on the spritz level. And this is only a 1 to 2.5 spritz level.
So, yeah. So it's the pet gnats that, remember, ferment in the bottle so they don't go through that second fermentation.
I did not remember or know this, but I loved the wine. So feel free to finish that explanation because it helps describe why I liked it so much.
Right. And remember, I feel like I've been talking about pet gnats, but sometimes it doesn't really...
I didn't really know what you were talking about. I just thought natural wine.
Yeah, it's a natural wine that's got a bit of a funk to it, obviously, but it's going to have a little bit more tartness and it finishes in the bottle, so it's not going to be as aggressive a bubble. It's going to be a little bit softer of a bubble.
And it's white.
Yeah.
So typically in a white, the alcohol level is a little bit lower. It's a little bit softer.
Yeah.
It's an organic, crisp, easy. I just was
pet
like, oh, wow, this is new.
Hazy? Was it a little hazy or no?
No.
Okay. Some of them can be hazy and that's okay. Again, it's like that.
Fermentish.
It's finishing in the bottle. And so you're kind of getting that. And I love that it's like petulant, natural petulance.
Is
like,
that petulant? Well, you spell the word petulant?
No. This is French. Oh. So this is like the process. Yeah. And actually, it's probably Spanish. I don't know.
Petillant.
Yeah, it's probably that.
I'm going to go ahead and post this on the Facebook page so that you can find this. Because if you're like me, you...
Where'd you get it?
At Serdix.
Oh, okay.
I tried it. And
great.
I was like, whoa.
Yeah.
And I really like... I like the Viognier. No. Thank you. Help me.
Viognier?
Yes, the Viogniers.
The Veltliners.
The Veltliners.
Yeah.
I like the Vouvray.
You're all about the Vs, huh?
I don't know, but I like sort
the
of
Gruners.
A sparkling, low sparkle Austrian
you like
wine
the Vino
traditionally
Verde. You're
I go to.
The Vino Verdes have a little bit of sparkle to them.
So this is a kind of Spanish category that I was not familiar with.
But not a cava?
No.
No, it's good.
A little bit different because sometimes that's a little too bubbly.
Yeah.
You know, like.
Okay.
Especially if you're going to be eating it with food sometimes.
Sure.
So, yeah, I liked it.
Okay. The other one I'm going to do is also kind of farmy. It is the Seward Co-op's CSA Fair.
Oh, I can't believe that this is coming up so fast already.
And I feel like it's like April 29th. So we're going to be at Rosedale during our party board parties. but... The CSA Fair is one of those really amazing things that you basically show up in the Co-op Seward Co-op Creamery's parking lot, and they're going to basically have all the farmers there to meet and greet and hang out, and you can pick your CSAs for the year. So it is from, I think it goes from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. So, you know, it's like a great thing to go do.
And you mentioned the party board event, so I'm just going to go ahead and give the little rundown on that.
Sure.
On Saturday, April 29th, we're going to be doing a party board soiree at Rosedale. It is part of Minneapolis St. Paul Magazine. Let's see. There's going to be a special selection of locally made handcrafted charcuterie boards from Rose and Loon that you can purchase. You can get a VIP pass. Gold ticket holders will receive VIP seating to our live broadcast in Potluck Food Hall at 9. The party board event then happens down in the Von Moor Food Court at 11:30. You get a complimentary beverage. There is general admission available. And it's just going to be a super fun event.
Yeah.
I'll go ahead and put a link to get tickets and join us on the Facebook page.
Yeah, we're doing, and I mean, we're going to have Certix on to talk about how to put together cool party boards, and then they're going to be there to help demo stuff. It's going to be a really fun afternoon, I think. It'll be sweet.
Yes, yes.
So there we go. All right, you guys, well, we're going to take a quick break. And when we come back, we are going to talk a little bit about a coming holiday that is a little controversial.
Uh-oh.
But also not controversial. I'm so excited to speak about it. We'll be right back. This is The Weekly Dish on MyTalk 107.1.
When people think about personal trainers, they sometimes picture this guy.
You know something, Jessica? When I'm done with you, you're going to have the largest arms this side of the continent.
I don't want that.
But when you join the YMCA, you'll get a free fitness assessment from a real certified personal trainer. So you can set realistic goals, learn what to do, and what not to do.
I am your doctor, yeah. And the only thing I prescribe is pain.
That's what not to do. And he's not a doctor. Learn more at ymcanorth.org.
Welcome back to Weekly Dish, everyone.
Thank you. Petulant.
Petulant. Petulant. Petulant. Petulant naturel. I'm sure someone's going to call and say something because I can't. What was the thing I said yesterday? Oh, I don't think I was with you. I was with somebody else though, I said something in French, like, and it was just like, you can't do it the right way. You have to be like, "Lanson, fa, fa, fa."
Boy, whenever I'm on TV, I always say something ridiculously wrong.
Yeah, well,
it just is what it is.
It is what it is. I know. It's part of your charm, right?
Oh,
is that what
yeah,
we're going to chalk it up
it
to?
Charm.
For some reason, I'm having a problem with Bidet Mikoska, and I don't know. It's like, it's not that I'm having a problem with it. Like, I freeze thinking it's one way or the other, and then I can't decide, and then I say the wrong thing.
That just means you care.
It does. I want to do it right. I want to be right. You know that. all right. So here I want to talk a little bit about something. I want to talk about 420.
Oh, this is giving me all the Nancy Reagan feels.
Okay.
And by that, I mean, when I was in high school, Nancy Reagan and Ronald Reagan were running for office.
Your friend Nancy
had gone to treatment, and she just said no. Like,
yeah.
We were just supposed to say no to drugs.
Right.
And I did. And
did
my
you?
Mom was a therapist. Yeah, I pretty much
no.
did. I just said no to drugs.
Okay.
And whatever, like, drug experiences I had were literally, like, 13, and then I was done. So I was never in the drug zone, ever.
Did you ever smoke pot?
I mean, a few times, and I just got, like, once paranoid, another time freaked out, and then I was like, that's enough.
So 420... is obviously April 20th has long been sort of an underground, unofficial holiday celebrating pot smoking. And of course, because it hasn't been legal in the past, it's sort of this like outlawish, you know, kind of, you know, thing, a little bit sticking it to the man, you know, kind of a thing. And I love that, you know, you got to love those sort of like, you know, movements, I guess. Like we have to have an undercurrent of revolution in some way, shape or form. So, but I have, again, almost like you, like, of course I did my college things and whatever, but like that just never was my jam. So I was never sort of in that big party type space with it. Here's an interesting thing though, with the legalization of it all. I mean, it's all kind of figuring out the differences of how something that is sort of supposed to be underground kind of becomes mainstream. And so I love the fact that Hook and Ladder has a party on 420, and it's called like, it's like Barbecue Blues and Buzz or something like that, or Blazing Barbecue and Blues. And they're like, this is potentially the last like outlaw. It's like the night, you know, it's like legalization Eve, they're calling it, because of course, we are looking at bills that are in the legislature currently right now that are going to move through. And I think it's pretty safe to say we're going to get legalized marijuana, you know, in the state.
Yeah.
We already have it. We already have it in the THC temp, you know, hemp space, but now to have it in a bigger space is something that's sort of a little bit, you know, to have it a little bit in a wider scope is what I'm talking about. Because there are things that are illegal about THC right now, but what they're saying is like maybe we're moving into this new space that it's going to be more of a wild, an open call for things.
It's a funny marketing ploy, and I really am here for it. Because it's, there like is the whole illegality of marijuana in particular. For some people, it's like, oh my gosh, just make this legal already and just collect the taxes and let's move on.
Well, and really when we get down to it, is it that much different than alcohol?
No, it isn't. And in fact, some people would argue that the ramifications and societal
plenty
problems and all the other things are actually better.
Yeah.
And we're seeing all these THC beverages and consumables and drinks. And
I think what's interesting that I was thinking about this in terms of what really happened here is like, you know, the THC stuff got passed under, you know, sort of like shockingly quickly and like randomly, like all of a sudden. I remember it that, you know, Winter Kiefer, who was a reporter for our, you know, Allie Kaplan's publication, Twin Cities Business. And I remember her like kind of having a meeting with all of us saying like, Do you guys
realize
that THC, like marijuana is legal now, or like pot is legal? And we're like, no. She's like, no, did you read the thing that just passed?
This
she's
is
like,
how the legislature
it's buried
felt.
In there. And she was, and we were all like, really? And I remember no one was talking about it. And I was like, are you sure? And so I feel like when she finally wrote something and then we all started being like, wait a minute, hello, we just snuck, you know, THC under the wire and it's now legal. And the Wild West started, right? But I feel like, in a weird way, the Outlaws kind of feel like they got robbed of their big celebration moment, you know, because it was so subtle. And so I feel like the 420 was like, wait, what? So this is the first 420 that they're kind of like being able to sort of have their, like, they would have rather have had a giant ticker tape parade saying, pot's now legal.
Yes.
They didn't get it. You
they
know?
Had to slide by underneath the radar.
Like, because all of a sudden now there's like 170 million THC beverages. Enough so that our friend Matt Kenevan has opened his third THC Dabbler Depot shop.
Okay, can we talk about that for one second?
Yes.
My daughter is a big THC consumer.
Yes.
Which sounds terrible.
No. But maybe it did in the past, but now it isn't.
Well, and she would rather have a THC hard seltzer than a beer.
Yes, many people in this generation.
And she also, like, she knows a lot about it. When my husband has some allergies that causes him to have this weird histamine reaction and then he can't sleep. So Ellie is like, Dad, if you try this gummy, that will help you sleep. Like, so she's into the movement. Let's just say that. She was telling me, because my mother-in-law, who's 90, also has been doing CBD gummies.
Yeah.
From Whole Foods, because she finds it takes the edge off her anxiety.
Sure.
So Ellie was like, well, Grandma, THC now is legal, and there's these other gummies, and they might do a little more for you, and well, I don't want to get stoned. She's like, no, you won't. So she's like, you should go with me to the Dabbler, the depot in St. Paul off of West 7th Street. She's like, they have all these hard seltzers. They have all the gummies. They have the best selection in town of all of these THC beverages.
Yep.
And things so that you can talk to someone. You can figure out, like, I would like a little to take the edge off, but I don't want to necessarily feel stoned. Like, what would you recommend for sleep? Because this has been underground, going into like a THC shop was like in the back door of some poorly lit, crappy strip mall. And now, like, it's kind of more out in the open and there's people that actually know things and you can talk to them.
Right. And I will tell you that there's an event tomorrow night at the Glass House, and it's a part of Marigold, which is another bottle shop. We've talked about them before, Aaron Flavin. They have an event tomorrow night called Vernal Vibrations. And it's really about having a band play and having a concert and a party with no alcohol. There's no alcohol. There will be THC products there. So it's like, this is where I'm saying this is a strange little, like, it's become a wellness thing for so many people that it's supporting another industry. But it's funny to me that it's like there's still people who want to hold on to this, like, and I want to say this in the nicest way, but the stoner vibe, like the dank and like the, you know, like the haze. And they want to have this like
they don't want it. it's scrubbed like, up and right, palatable like, for the mommies in the suburbs.
Take your yoga pants out of my stoner vibe. And I get it. I get it because I hear you. I love that you love something because it is, you know, like it's
counterculture.
Yes, counterculture. Thank you.
Counterculture.
And so I get that. And I want to like, I want to protect that for some people for some reason. But I also want to say, if you want to make the money.
Because you're a counterculture.
Sell your THC to the yoga pants because they're going to spend a lot of money on wellness. And if this is a, if THC is a piece of this, if 420
and they want to sprinkle it on pizza,
oh my God.
They want to put it in their rosé frosés.
Yes, their wines.
They want to put it in their smoothies in the morning and their little mini blenders.
Well, and so Heather Klein is going to open this restaurant. She's now calling it, was going to be called Juniper, but now it's going to be called High Flora, and it's in Lynn Lake. It's taking over the common root space. And what it's going to be is a restaurant and a market. The market's going to sell the THC products. They're calling it a euphoria bar. No alcohol in the space whatsoever, but you're going to be able to buy plant-based foods and then order a tincture that goes with it and decide if you want to put that on your food. We're going to have her on when she gets open and gets going.
I'm just saying
it's really interesting sociologically to watch. So there you go. All right, we're going to take a quick break, you guys. We're going to come back and talk about grilled cheese, which makes me extremely happy.
Okay.
You're up.
We are back. And I'm always looking for, you know, story ideas and content and things that I can do on Jason's show. And when I was traveling, I needed to come up with a segment. And I was like, you know, sometimes the simplest things are the best. And it was National Grilled Cheese Month. Did you know there's a grilled cheese month?
Why not?
There's a National Grilled Cheese Day that gets a lot more publicity that's not right now, but it is National Grilled Cheese Month. So I was thinking about grilled cheeses and all the different variations, and French onion soup is something that I get real obsessy about. And I have a recipe in my cookbook. I do love to make it. I typically only make it up north on a cold, like rainy day because it takes a while to caramelize your onions.
Yeah.
But from that caramelized onion French soup, onion soup recipe, I always caramelize more onions than I need.
Okay.
Because you can, shocker, Stephanie, freeze caramelized onions.
Wait, I'm sorry. Maybe you can,
you can freeze caramelized onions, Stephanie. You can put them in little silicone molds or in ice cube trays. Because here's
I'm going to give you a t-shirt someday that says you can freeze that.
So true.
Yeah.
So what you do then with the frozen caramelized onions is you have them for something like a French onion grilled cheese sandwich. Okay. So here's what you do.
Yeah.
Because not only did I give you a recipe, but I gave you some tech too.
Okay.
First of all, caramelized onions are delicious. You're just going to make them with butter and you're going to cook them on a medium high heat and you're going to cook them for anywhere from 20 to 40 minutes.
Yeah. You're just
the longer you cook them, the browner they get. You want some of that caramelized brownness, sometimes blackness, because that's what gives it the flavor. And you have to scrape up on the bottom of the pan because the onions pick up that flavor off the bottom of the pan. Then at the end, when you're all done, you hit them with Worcestershire sauce. It really just gives them like a over the top. Okay, so now you have your caramelized onions. So you're going to, whatever kind of bread you like, and I like a sourdough for a grilled cheese, just like a kind of basic, plain, hearty bread. You're going to put mayonnaise instead of butter on the outside.
Yep.
And the reason you're doing this is because mayonnaise is more easily spreadable and you can get that mayonnaise all the way to the edge. Then you're going to put your pan on medium high heat. You're going to place your mayonnaise side down piece of bread. You're going to put a slice of Gruyere or a slice of Swiss is fine or Jarlsberg. And then you're going to put a layer of these caramelized onions. Then you're going to add a slice of sharp cheddar, and it's white cheddar because you want it to look white like a French onion soup, because that's going to give you a little more of that flavor of cheese. Gruyere is kind of more subtle and nutty. Gruyere.
Nuttier. I can't have it be Gruyere again.
Gruyere.
It's Gruyere.
Gruyere. It's nuttier. It's got a little different flavor, but the sharpness of the cheddar really works to balance out the onions. Then you put your second piece of bread on the top that has the mayonnaise on the other side when you flip.
Yeah.
Now, you put a tablespoon of butter in the skillet. So what you're essentially doing is you're frying the grilled cheese.
Well, that's what you should be doing.
And then, so you don't put the butter on the bread. You put the mayonnaise on the bread, the butter in the pan. And then when it's all said and done and you're getting where your cheese is melting, you get down and you grab your skillet and you grab your flipper.
Yeah.
And you turn your skillet to like meet your flipper halfway. So you don't from up on high pull up your sandwich and then you're up high flipping it over because it just creates a sloppy mess. Because you've got the onions in there and things are melting, but you want this all to hold together, you got to kind of lift up your pan and flip close to the nature of the sandwich in the pan.
Okay.
I'm doing hand motions, yep, which are hard to
There's a lot of things
watch.
To see on radio.
But that then finishes your second side. You cook your second side and now your grilled cheese is done. The caramelized onions really add a life-changing flavor to something as simple as a grilled cheese.
Okay.
And then I was like, okay, there's so many different grilled cheese combinations,
my
right?
God.
Like
right?
bacon jam, fig jam, jalapeno, pickled jalapenos, hot pepper cheese, bacon, ham. Like you can just go hog wild on the grilled cheesies.
Of course.
You could put mushrooms in grilled cheese. I mean, just
you
go crazy.
You can do anything you want in grilled cheese.
And then I got to the next part of my grilled cheese brain. And I was like, oh, because right away I go to soup. Because the reason I started talking about grilled cheese also was because Kurt and I were talking about soup. And he doesn't think soup is a meal.
Yeah.
So you have to have salad. You have to have sandwich. You have to have bread. Soup in and of itself is not a meal.
Yes.
And I make soup all the time. So I'm always trying to find a way to present it as a meal. And grilled cheese is a great way to amp up the meal.
Yeah.
So then I started thinking about places that have good grilled cheeses in town. And I thought right away about Eli's. Now, Eli's has two locations. They have one on east side of downtown and one on west side of downtown. And they've also got like melts, you know, like.
What's the difference between a melt and a grilled cheese?
I think usually a melt has a protein, but that's just me.
Okay.
So they've got like
I don't know
a turkey
if there's
bacon
a hard and fast,
melt, a tuna
like,
melt.
Okay. Yeah.
A ham.
It's like a protein with cheese melted on top,
correct.
Which is also not a cheese. Burger, but it would be under the circumstances. I think a melt has like the cheese as a main portion of it.
Okay.
That's where I'm going to go with it.
So their grilled cheese, you can pick smoked Gouda, cheddar, American, or grilled sourdough, add bacon, add tomato. It's a good grilled cheese sandwich.
This is Eli's.
Yeah. Okay. Eli's, and they have it at East in downtown. Also, the Howe has a good grilled cheese, but what they do, we can technically call theirs maybe a melt, Stephanie, because what? They put brisket in it.
Yeah, that's the thing.
And that's good.
Yeah.
Red Cow has a delicious grilled cheese. The Lowry has a great grilled cheese.
Westside Wines has a great grilled cheese. And
okay.
You know what? It's called the March.
We talked about that a couple of weeks ago. Tell them what's in your sandwich.
I don't remember right now, but I'm just saying that like I just love the fact that there's obviously, you know, oh, there's obviously a cheese sandwich that is like, you know, named for me and I love it. I'm there for it. In fact, wait, I'm going to look it up.
Yeah, it has prosciutto, I think, or
no,
ham.
I don't think it does.
It's got a pork, or maybe is it a pork product or is it just
no,
eggs?
No, I think it's a grill. I think it is literally green. The Coen Brothers is a great one. I've got that one. I think it's just cheese and stuff in it, like beautiful things with it.
Okay, I tweeted about it or Facebooked it or Instagrammed
thing.
It a while back. I don't know.
I'm a fan. I'm just a fan of grilled cheese. We know this.
Gosh, when you Google you.
Here, wait a minute. It's Gruyere, Tillamook white cheddar, brie, chives, smoked paprika mayo, and grilled sourdough. Because here's the thing.
So it's very similar, just different cheeses and the smoked paprika mayo sounds
good. And I don't
do
any of the caramelized onions. I mean, I love that you love that. I just don't want any of that.
Yeah.
I don't want jam. I don't want any jam.
Yum.
On mine.
I like all that.
I know, and you do. But I do love chives in it, and I do love a mayo on the inside that's a little bit of kick to it.
Which has the smoked paprika. How do you get the chives to stay in?
What do you mean?
How do you get them to stay in the grilled cheese?
I don't understand where there's a problem if you sprinkle it on cheese and then you put it in there and then it just melts in with your cheese.
I suppose.
Yeah. Or it could be mixed in with like, if you're doing a, I guess it's just like, it's part of the thing. Or you can sprinkle it in on the side with the mayo and stuff, maybe.
I don't know. Are you a ham and grilled cheese person?
But then it's a ham and cheese. Like that becomes then a ham and cheese. So, like, I think if you're putting anything in there, it should be like an accoutrement, like chives. Like, you wouldn't say this is a chive and cheese sandwich, but like, if you did put a big hunk of ham, it would be a
this
ham and cheese.
This is where we go back to the melt.
I know. Sorry. This is all.
Because is
the
that
thing.
A melt? If it's ham?
Well, I think a ham and cheese is a specific thing. And it is a melt. Yeah, I think it is. But
okay.
You don't call it a melt. You don't call it a ham melt. You call it a ham and cheese.
Ham melt.
But what if it was like. Yeah, like if you wanted to mix chorizo in, like that's not enough to make it be like chorizo and melts.
Nope. But it's also not like chorizo and cheese.
Right. That's an accoutrement.
Yeah.
I don't know, man.
It's a sprinkle. Okay, I do know someone that probably knows, though. And this is the restaurant All Square.
Oh, God, yeah. They're so great. They're so great.
This is a great restaurant that does great work in the community that helps people reform their lives after they've had experience with prison. And they have a whole menu of grilled cheeses. That's all that's on the menu. All Square. Get it? So they've got like, they have a jalapeno popper that has cream cheese, cheddar cheese, pickled jalapeno, plus candied bacon.
Oh, hate the candied bacon, but that's just a personal
yummy
thing.
Scrummy.
Yeah.
Also, they've got a buffalo chicken cheese. So chicken, brown sugar bacon, blue cheese crumbles, house-made buffalo sauce and ranch. Now, someone asked on the show, is there a cheese that doesn't melt? And blue cheese doesn't really melt.
No, you kind of got to mix it in and make it. I mean, the hard cheeses are just hard. The hard cheeses are just hard to melt. They're not made to melt. Their moisture content and, you know, everything else is just different. Yeah, the blue cheese to me is like you get it in there with like a crumble, you know, or you get it in there with like a little bit of like.
But what about like a goat cheese crumble in a grilled cheese?
Yum. I think just actually here's something like if you do goat cheese and mozzarella, that together is an amazing little mix. Like that's a perfect cheesy, wonderful elevated, because sometimes if you're just doing mozzarella and a grilled cheese, you're like
a mozzarella does not have enough flavor, but yeah. It melts deliciously.
It does, and that's what's great about it. But I mean, to me, a Havarti moment is how I'm in a grilled cheese. Love a Havarti moment.
Okay,
or and Munster.
Like some of these goat cheeses have like dill flavor or like a herby garlic. Sure. Like that sounds like it'd be really delicious too. Yeah. Boursin could be in a grilled cheese.
That might be too much. That's like, and that might not melt as much as get watery. I think Boursin is like whipped so hard, you know what I mean? Or it's so
that
fluffy.
That it would maybe be drippy, because you don't want a drippy grilled cheese.
No, I would say that here's the thought. If you want to do like a standard grilled cheese, I would then spread the Boursin on top of the crispy bread and then eat it like there's another layer on top.
Ooh, that sounds good. Okay, here's my favorite grilled cheese sandwich at All Square.
Okay.
Pickled jalapeno.
Yep.
Chili cheese Frito crumble.
Okay.
Spicy ranch and cheddar cheese.
Yeah, I would do that.
Oh, that is such a good sandwich. And you guys don't like, okay, you have your grilled cheese, right? And it's all like cheesy and it's all finished. There's nothing to stop you from lifting up that top lid and putting a few potato chips in there.
Sure,
or dilly potato chips.
Yep.
And then you kind of smash it all back together. Yep. And so you have the crunch. I made a lot of sandwiches in the van.
Did you?
On the road. And we always were putting dill pickle chips inside the sandwiches.
Sure. It's a total gamer.
If you buy an egg salad gas station sandwich and you buy a bag of spicy dill pickle chips.
Wait, that's your next book. Gas station elevated. The van life. Gas station food elevated. That's actually a really good idea.
Dilly potato chips into the bread.
You would totally win on this book.
Okay, what is it?
Gas station elevated. Gas station? Like, so like you shop your gas station and you go around the country and you're like, if you're in West Texas, because there's going to be like different snack
there
things.
There's weird like chicharrones.
Could you?
Everything in Texas has lime, spicy, super hot.
So then could you do like a thing of like, okay, if you're in Texas and you're hitting gas stations, like here's what you grab from here, but here's what you have in your pantry. You make an egg salad with this kind of thing. I'm making you money hand over fist. All right, we have to take a break.
Good idea.
I know. We're going to take a break. We come back, you guys. We're going to wrap it up. So we'll be right back. This is The Weekly Dish. That's very sweet. I like this one.
Yeah.
It's a good one. I don't know anything about this person or this group or whatever. But welcome back to Weekly Dish.
Thank you. Since we're going to analyze Taylor Swift's lyrics, we can analyze Dean Lewis's lyrics. Kurt was making fun of me in the van. He was like, God, like, you know the words to every song. And I do. That's a thing. I can just sing all the songs.
Okay.
But I don't like think about them. It's just almost like an earwormy thing that happens in my brain.
Okay.
And he's like, I listen to songs all the time, but I don't ever listen to the words.
Yeah, that's weird. I'm definitely a word person, but.
Yeah. Well,
anyway,
here we are.
Wordsmith.
Molly had a, or not Molly, Kim had a thought about melts.
Okay. What's the thought?
She said, aren't melts typically open face?
Well, a patty melt? I don't think so,
no. Uh-uh. Oh, patty melt, yeah, that would
that's not open
bunk
face.
That.
Patty melt is, and this is the weird thing, patty melt is a cheeseburger on bread. Like, this doesn't,
onions.
like toast. Like, yeah, it doesn't make sense. Like, why isn't that not, just a cheeseburger? Does it have
toast.
To be on sliced bread?
Yeah.
It's still a cheeseburger. It's like, bread is bread, but no, because the bread is a different shape, then that makes it a melt?
Because it's not a bun.
There's a lot of problems.
Could you repeat, we have a request, could you repeat the THC stores?
All of okay, it's what the was Dabbler Depot?
There's one on West 7th, or not on West 7th. It's off of Randolph in St. Paul.
It is off West 7th, though.
Oh, it is. Yeah. Okay.
So there's one in St. Paul. There's one in South Minneapolis. And then there's the one that just opened is in Uptown. And it's across from the YMCA in Uptown.
Dabbler Depot.
The Dabbler Depot. But also, I was talking about the Vernal Vibrations, which is the event at Glass House. And it's sponsored by Marigold. And that's tomorrow. And it's going to be just a concert and an alcohol-free fun fest, but there's going to be THC people there, and it's going to be great.
Okay, we have a request.
Okay.
And this is going to be weird. We have a request to bring back the second helping. She said, I've been going back and listening to the podcast, and there's just something about the second helping that I like.
Oh, that's sweet. Yeah, the second helping was the thing that we just sort of did on the side, that we just sort of bumped up. I don't know. Yeah. I mean, we could talk about it.
So that's kind of funny. Thank you for your feedback.
Thanks for loving that.
We'll take all your feedback at The Weekly Dish on Facebook. Steph's on Twitter at Stephanie March. I'm on Twitter at Stephanie's Dish. We're both on Instagram. You can always find us.
I didn't pull up anything today. That's really funny. I didn't pull up Twitter or anything.
I did. And I kind of think I got us covered a little bit. I'm going to be today, you guys, I bought the cutest tin dishes that you can see on my Instagram page yesterday at the Junk Bonanza.
Oh, yeah.
That Junk Bonanza is real fun. It was my first time yesterday. I was signing books with Patrick, the laundry guy, sure, who's also obsessed with bourbon balls, coincidentally, and has, he says, the best bourbon ball recipe in his book. So I have the book. I will bring it for you next week.
I'm going to call no.
It was like a throw. I was like, Stephanie March is going to throw you down on the bourbon ball recipe.
Also, it's not like there's like a lot of gradation here. Like, this is not, there's not a lot of bourbon tweaks that you're making. It's vanilla wafers and walnuts and bourbon. So, I don't know.
So, yeah, that was pretty funny. But I'll be back there out again today at the Junk Bonanza from 12 to 2, right in the doorway there.
Today you are?
Books again. Yeah.
Okay. Yep. And I'm out, like I said, if you guys want to walk into the Good
Acre.
Yeah,
dressed up.
Yeah, I actually, like, brushed my hair today. I will put on makeup before I leave here. But I'll be at the Good Acre again. I heard from Sarah, they are taking walk-ins. And so if you want to come in and support a really good organization, hear some chat, have some lunch, hang out, we're good. We went to Pinoli last night. We haven't talked about it yet, but we should talk about it because it was a really lovely time.
Yes, there's a new place. It's called Pinoli. It is the former Arezzo. It's in Uptown.
No, it's the former Amore.
Thank you. Former Amore.
Yeah.
In Uptown, across the street, pretty much from like Cafe Barbette.
Yeah.
And it is a great neighborhood spa. It's very bright in there, very chic. And it is a placemaker hospitality restaurant.
It's a Kim Bartman restaurant. We can say that, I think. So, and what is interesting about it is they totally redid. And I've talked about it, I think, once when you weren't here, but just because I had popped into the bar and hung out and I thought it was a great space for dates. But I kind of think that it's got a really, and that was in the very beginning. They had just opened and there wasn't a lot of people there, but last night it was packed. Like, it was like people were kept walking in the door, and it has such a warm, it's like one room, lots of tables, a little bar, and it just had such a warm, like, family restaurant.
Yeah.
Not family as in kids everywhere, but just like a neighborhood restaurant.
Yeah, total neighborhood.
I want more neighborhood restaurants.
Focaccia is a specialty. We had this delicious pasta that was called panzati.
Yeah, panzati.
That was like Swiss chard, herb, cream, walnut, pesto, and they were like little raviolis, basically.
It was a really rich, for me, it was really rich as the walnut cream sauce, but what I thought was the balance was the inside of the ravioli. It wasn't cheese, it was spinach.
I loved it.
And that to me was like, that was the moment that I was a little worried, and then I cut in and I was like, oh, this works.
They have a roasted Savoy cabbage on the menu, which, you know, I'm obsessed with cabbage. Mm-hmm. And it was on a squash puree, and then it had a pecorino breadcrumb topping, so it was crunchy.
Yeah.
Another thing they do that is just simple wording and marketing, but they have what they call the dinner party at your table. So for parties or four or more, you can select your favorite courses, and then $62 per guest, and you can add a wine course at $35 per guest, and they will just like course out a whole meal for you with your favorite stuff.
Yeah, and so, what they feel like is a good pairing. So if you're worried about like, well, I don't know, should we eat this? Will we even want this after this? They'll watch, you know, as far as like what the portion sizes are and all that kind of fun stuff.
And if you're going out for dinner with your gal pals and you're just like deep in intense life-changing conversations, which happens with women, you can just be like, just bring us your family dinner table. Yeah, we're just going to start talking.
And they do have a little lovely menu of spritzes. They have some spritz cocktails, different ones. They have different Negronis.
What was the spritz that they had? A spritz that was there was their a bergamot specialty
spritz, which is an Italian orange.
It was super good.
And then there was a Lambrusco spritz that was really good that we both
which
liked.
I would have never ordered, and I ended up drinking your drink instead. And now I'm kind of want to go back spritz and have it again.
And I was, it's funny because like I was thinking like this is really orangey, but it's not very Lambrusco-y. And then it was like no. I got the bergamot.
But I would never order Lambrusco, and I was like, this is, like, so amazing.
But you love Piazza Grande, don't you?
I do.
Which is a Lambrusco.
I did not even know that.
Yeah, uh-huh.
See, I don't profess to be a wine expert, but I do love wine.
We're on the journey.
And it is so fun. Piazza Grande is the pink.
Is the pink wine bottle that we all love. And the and then the Emilia Grande is their white version of bubbles that
also,
we love.
I got a pink in my Sip Better wine box that I loved so much that we had at Easter.
I drank all of my Sip Betters like that. Like all those wines went gone.
It's a Rouanne, Rouen, pink wine, and it's from France, and it was so good. I would like to get another bottle of
that. Oh, I did not get that one.
Oh, Stephanie.
That's beautiful.
That you should run, not walk, to get that.
Okay.
So maybe I'll put this picture up on Facebook just so you can... Sometimes it's helpful to have a picture when you're looking and shopping.
100%.
We're getting into kind of the fun wine season, so...
Oh, is there not a fun wine? I'm sorry. I don't know if you would live with me, but no.
Just springs and whites are fun.
All right, everybody, have a great day. Ciao, ciao.